You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to the Locked On Pacers podcast. My name is Adam Friedman. As always, I'm the host of this wonderful show. And join me on the other line for another weekly edition of this podcast. It's Mr. Tony East. Tony, how are you doing?
I'm good, Adam. It was a pretty wild and somber and humanizing weekend of Pacers news, but we have to cover it all here and figure out what the team's going to do going forward.
Yeah, so we are recording this podcast at roughly 1:30 Eastern time on Sunday afternoon. Normally, we'd wait till after the Clippers game tonight, but we decided we should just come on and talk about, obviously, the Caris LeVert news and what's going on with him. So we're going to break that down in this kind of first segment, talk about the short-term and long-term effects of that injury in terms of the Pacers roster. We don't know a ton, but we need to talk a little bit about it. Then we will break down some more of the news from the week. Pacers, obviously, how they put the highs and lows from some of the players. And then we'll finish out this show breaking down their three games coming up against the Mavs, Raptors, and Magic, I believe, are the three games this week. But before we start, I think we wanted to actually go to a quote from Kevin Pritchard on LeVert's injury and kind of what their – or not injury, I guess news – and kind of what the team is thinking right now.
This organization is going to step up, help him get through this, get him back on the court. I'm super confident that we're going to have him on the court. Everybody I know will want a timeline. I don't want to do that. People will heal in all different fashions. But we expect him out on the court, and we're going to be really a good basketball team, not just now, but, you know, in the medium term and definitely in the long term.
So what's obvious from his statement is there is not a lot to know right now. Clearly, they discovered something. Luckily, they did, frankly, because if it wasn't for this trade physical, they wouldn't have been able to discover it. But basically, it's kind of a wait and see right now, Tony, right?
Yeah, it's really hard to know what the exact extent of this injury is. The Pacers, on the official release about LeVert's injury, said it was a mass on his kidney. And then when asked directly if it's cancerous or not, Kevin Pritchard could not confirm. I believe that's a HIPAA thing. So he wasn't allowed to. Maybe we'll hear from Caris himself at some point about that. But definitely a surprising announcement. I have to hope he's okay. And, you know, it's just one of those things that, you know, Kevin Pritchard said they consulted with like 50 doctors, like upwards of 50 doctors about this to make sure they had all the possible information about how it could affect him, how it could affect his recovery, what it means for him as like a person, even beyond basketball. So his recovery is of the utmost importance, and it's going to be fascinating to see how this intertwines with basketball, how the Pacers get involved, how they're able to handle it, and what comes next.
Yeah, I will say we've seen plenty of athletes or coaches, even in this city, you go back to Chuck Pagano, guys who have had, whether it's cancers or not, had you know, major health issues, but they've were able to get the care they needed to from, I think even Pritchard says at the, I think it's the Simon Medical Center. I think it's right. One of the, I think the Simons who own the Pacers also donated a bunch of money to the medical center at IU and whatnot. And hopefully he'll get what he needs and can come back, you know, at some point. I mean, we just don't have a timeline right now. I think we're better off assuming he doesn't play this year just because we shouldn't put too much expectations on him and whatnot. But I don't think the Pacers – it seems like there is some optimism that this isn't going to be like a career-threatening thing, I guess, at this point.
Kevin Pritchard did not rule out a return this season. Although I will say I think it's very possible that it's a season-ending thing given the way that the press conference went, the phrasing of the answers and stuff like that. Like, I'm sure it's possible he's back this year. And again, without knowing exactly what the mass is, like if it's just a cyst, if it's actually cancerous, without knowing all that information, you know, I don't know what kind of MRI he's had, if he's had a biopsy, all that kind of stuff. It's hard to say I obviously can't guess at this injury or like what the recovery timeline is going to be. I can only take Kevin Pritchard's words at face value. But I mean, I'm sure if he's thinking there's at least a chance he returns this season, there's for sure a chance he'll return eventually. And I think he said that, right? That in the quote you said earlier, you played earlier even, we heard him talk about that. They expect him to return to the court. But it's really hard to say without knowing an exact diagnosis and figuring that out from here. Like, they just found this. The trade was like leaked to the media or whatever on Wednesday, which was 4 days ago from the time of recording right now, right? So let's assume the physical was Thursday or Friday, right? So they've known about it even – for 2 days. So getting the scope, at most 2 days. So getting the scope of what this actually is, how to treat it, how long it will take. Like, I don't even know if anybody knows right now, even if the Pacers have talked with so many doctors about his medical history and about his current medical. So it's impossible to say or estimate when they might have him back, but I do think it's a good thing from a basketball perspective, which is like the 10th most important thing here, that for the Pacers, he will be back at some point.
Yeah, so the timeline here, because we didn't do it at the start, was so the trade was announced Wednesday. It was a four-team trade between the Rockets, Nets, Cavs, and Pacers. Essentially, the Cavs, Nets, and Rockets all executed one trade to send Harden basically to the Nets and a bunch of stuff elsewhere around. And then the Pacers
here.
Yeah.
It got confusing because the diagnosis actually made the league have to alter the trade, because you're correct. Originally, it was going to be the three-team trade between the Rockets, Nets, and Cavs, so the Rockets could make a bigger trade exception, and then they would just flip LeVert for Oladipo, bada bing, bada boom. But because the diagnosis was so bad, and we were going to kind of talk about this in the next segment, the trade, but the trade actually got revised because the Pacers were like, well, we didn't know he was going to be out for much of this season, as Kevin Pritchard, you know, alluded to yesterday. We kind of need more to make up for that. So the cash and the extra second round are added in. Again, we'll talk about that next segment, but the timeline and the parameters of the trade had to change because of this physical dragging out. And everybody kept asking, why is this taking so long? People were even thinking the deal was off, which in theory, knowing what we know now, I guess the Pacers could have called it off, although I don't think they would have. But I think that is why the delay happened and why, you know, they had to talk to so many doctors.
Yeah. And so the physicals took place probably Thursday, Friday, maybe even, probably not by Saturday, but probably Thursday and Friday. And so if it wasn't for this kind of, you do a pretty thorough physical when you make for trade for a player, because on trading a $16 million asset, right? That's how much you're going to pay him. So you don't have to do a lot of thorough checking, first of all, just to get everything, all the paperwork in line and whatnot. And so they do a bunch of MRIs, stuff like that, just to make sure. And they luckily found this, hopefully in a quicker time than they would have normally. So that was kind of the optimistic side of this whole trade. And it seems like at the end of the day, the Pacers, even if LeVert can't play this year, because he's under a guaranteed contract the next 2 years, he's younger than Vic. They just like it. And they wanted to move on from Vic, it seems like. And they wanted to, because Vic, I think, was reported by, did Ryan McDonough report it first, or was he the one reporting off somebody else about Vic?
He's the first one I saw it from.
Right. That's who I saw it. He's a former Suns GM, I think.
Yep. Ryan McDonough, former as Ryan, or wow, Ryan, I just said Ryan McDonough's name for you. As Adam just said, he is an NBA insider for radio.com now for his bio, but he used to be the GM for the Phoenix Suns. He reported, per sources, so two, which makes me a little more, at least two, more confident in what he's saying, that the Pacers offered Oladipo a multi-year extension at $25 million. That's the most they could offer him. And he said no. So they knew he'd be gone anyway, and we kind of assumed he'd be gone by the trade deadline, but that even adds more pressure and more flame to a trade. So there's some value in just, even if Karras doesn't play this year, well, okay, you get him next year, and you wouldn't have been able to get him next year if you didn't trade Oladipo for him. So even more reason to do it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's – yeah. Having him this year is kind of gravy on top of it all, right? Just in general, right? Having a guy, you know, because I think they kind of expected they were going to have to move Vic anyways at the trade line for probably wouldn't even have been a player, right? I think at one point, probably the thought was, could we get like a late first-rounder for him and some salary filler kind of thing. So – that's a fortunate part for the Pacers that they kind of were able to continue this trade and whatnot, because I think it was time they needed to move on from Vic. We've reached that point. And the other thing is the team should be getting some players back. I mean, we just got their injury report. We'll break that down the next time a little bit, but they should be getting a little bit healthier in terms of like Jeremy Lamb's return and whatnot. So he's not as important per se as it like felt like maybe on Wednesday or even before that, kind of like have that kind of shooting guard in place.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, Sumner's been playing well, too, which helps a lot with this. But, yeah, and Adam just texted me. I forgot the way we're structuring the show. So we actually should kind of talk about the revised trade really quickly. Because of the Pacers learning about the mass on the kidney, you know, they could have avoided the trade. I mean, I don't think they would have because of what we just said, right? Depot turning down the extension makes it obvious they should get some long-term piece for him.
Yeah.
And Karras fits the Pritchard MO of, like, they were on a good contract, still on his prime, multiple years left on his deal.
And they were lucky to get him, frankly. I mean, we even before the season, we had kind of talked about, oh, what are some trade targets, right? And I kind of threw out the idea, well, maybe the Nets fail at getting some superstar and they can talk themselves into Vic being their third star, quote unquote.
Right.
Right. Maybe they can trade LeVert and flip it, right? The salaries maybe don't perfectly match, but there's some ways you can make it work, whatever. Right. And so like getting LeVert in general is like just a huge win considering that Vic, you couldn't trade Vic for like 2 second round picks in December, basically before the season started. So like, that's like the flip on that is like, I'm not sure any better asset they could get right now for him.
Yeah. So that's the first thing is the trade got revised to that 14 deal. And so it was originally Karis and a second from Houston for Vic. But now when they got all four teams involved, the Nets kind of had to get involved, right? Because, you know, they're trading away a guy who has a pretty bad medical problem right now. So they sent $2.6 million in cash to the Pacers, which for those that I've been asked this a lot, that has no salary cap impact on the team. It's just money for Herb or the organization, however they want to use it, whatever. So you shouldn't care about that unless they use it to, like, hire an awesome coach or something. But anyway, they also get an extra second from the – I don't know if it's a Cavs pick that the Nets already had or actually from the Cavs. I kind of got confused about that. But
your second-round picks are traded so much. Without
them. Yeah, they got a second-rounder from the Cavs, and the Cavs might be bad. They might be good. Who knows in 2024. So they got an extra second in cash out of it, which is cool. Obviously, though, the reason they got it is terrible news, and, you know, we have to wish Karis the best healthier. And the other thing that Kevin said about the trade that he mentioned in his press conference is that they could not have gotten LeVert directly via the Nets, right? He mentioned that the Nets were not interested in just a swap like that. So because the Harden trade, it was happening, he said that, you know, 10 minutes after Harden gets off the stand and does the, like, this isn't working, you know, this isn't whatever he said. I forget exactly what it was. Like within 10 minutes, they're already all in negotiations. And he realized he can get him via the Rockets, even though he can't get Karis directly from the Nets. So it all just kind of worked out in a series of quotes and crazy trades that they were able to even get him. So once he's healthy, I know, you know, they like his character. They like what he can do on the court. Maybe he can be a perfect guy for them, but of course the health is the most important thing.
Yeah. They liked his guaranteed salary at a pretty decent number. Considering what he
can I read at Karis LeVert's quote or his statement on his medicals before I move on anywhere else?
Yeah. Yeah.
Karis LeVert's published quote via Pacers.com. He said, "On behalf of my family and myself, we want to thank the Indiana Pacers for their support and guidance. We are grateful for their extreme thoroughness during the physical process, and I'm looking forward to joining the team and being a part of this great organization as soon as possible." So good on him. I mean, I hope he's okay, and I'm glad he's happy that the Pacers are potentially saving his life, depending on how threatening this is, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, and so we'll just, yeah, the story will be developing. I'm sure we'll get more news this week, which we'll talk about at some point. You know, and we'll see what happens. Hopefully it's not as bad as you know, the worst case scenarios that some of us are thinking about, I'm sure. But it seems like we'll just have to kind of to wait and see right now. And we're not doctors, so we're not really qualified to give too much of a, like, medical take. I mean, I think we both have our theories and thoughts, but, like, I don't think it would do anybody any good for us to just speculate about,
right,
you know, absolutely, this thing or that thing, because you and I don't have a medical degree. So that's not our place. So let's do this. We're going to take one quick break, and we're going to turn to talk about some of the things we liked from the Pacers this week, who went 2-1 so far. But first, today's Locked On Pacers podcast is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is an amazing protein bar company that's been sponsored this podcast for almost an entire year now. They make 18 amazing different protein bars that flavors that include cherry barcia, gotta get that name right, carrot cake, raspberry, double chocolate, and my favorite one, the peanut butter brownie one. And the bars are great for somebody that's trying to be healthy conscious. They can help you lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. And my favorite one, like I said, the peanut butter brownie one is 19 grams of protein, 180 calories, and 5 grams of net sugar. And right now, if you use promo code LOCKEDON, that's LOCKEDON, you get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. All right, Tony, who do you think had the best week as a Pacer this week? And they're 2-1.
Best week?
Yeah, well, so like I said before we started, so we have not watched the Clippers game yet. The Phoenix game was postponed. They only played 3 times this week. They were going to play 5 originally. We've only watched 3 of the games. But, like, if you had to pick a single player who had the best week, give me who you think it is. I have my thoughts.
The best playing week or the best week compared to expectation? Because that is two different answers for me.
There's also the best week in terms of just, like, life. Like, McConnell probably had the best week.
Oh, McConnell had the best life week. Yeah, for those who are unaware or for who get all their news from us, T.J. McConnell had a baby actually last week and rejoined the team on Thursday and then played a great game. So yeah,
team high 8 assists that night too.
Yeah, he played really well. I think that I have two different answers. My best week in terms of player is Miles. I think Miles was awesome against the Blazers, played awesome defense in every game, even though the Kings just stomped him.
But honestly, you can make a case that if he was in that game and not what was he? He didn't end up playing the last.
I know. They might have won.
They might have won the game. So that's why.
What a weird week, right? Monday night, I'm on the podcast after the Kings game before the Warriors game, melting down. The Pacers defense sucks. They just gave up 127 to the Kings, 125 to the Suns. And then they hold Steph Curry and the Warriors to 95 and the Blazers to 87. Like, what? What? Anyway, Miles, okay, I think, would be my best player. But I think compared to expectations, my best player is Edmund Sumner, who started twice with Vic out on a back-to-back and then Vic out because he got traded. Did awesome in transition, guarded Steph Curry and Damian Lillard, and just played really really fantastic fifth starter basketball minutes on offense and great defense. I mean, he was barely even in the rotation. All of a sudden, he's like, he's a lock to play every game because he's been playing so well. So my answer is best player, Miles, best compared to expectations, Sumner, best week, McConnell. Go.
Okay, so I would agree with you on Turner, and here's why. I think Saturday and Monday, when they lost to the Suns and Kings, there was like this freak out about rebounding, which has been a huge, which had been an issue, and on the defensive end, right? He then comes back and has like a, basically has back-to-back double-doubles, which I think, you know, for me, he's always been a little bit, you know, maybe not the best rebounder at times. I mean, a lot of times it's because he gets pulled from the basket on defense, so he can't get the rebound, and there's a lot of things, the reason he's not like a, you know, Sabonis level rebounder every night. But he had some really, I thought, strong rebounds, if that makes sense, against the Warriors and Trailblazers that felt like they were like, he was like being, like he was kind of like a, somebody had lit a fire under his ass to say, get, you know, go get that rebound, fight for it, essentially. And he made some really tough ones, I thought, in those games. His defense was, like, game-altering and, you know, against maybe –
he's defensive player of the year so far.
Like, yeah, I mean, he's making a case for sure. Six blocks against the Warriors. I think he had four against the Blazers, and I think he might have had – he had three against the Kings. But I think more importantly, he was, like, probably the reason they held in check, what, the three best guards in the Western Conference. I mean, who am I missing somebody? Between Lillard, Steph, and you know Harden's not there anymore, and McCollum, and those are three of the best guards right now in the Western Conference, and the Pacers held them in check. I'm not saying they like stopped them, but they held them to 20 and 22 points. You know, all of them. That's really good for guys that are all averaging like nearly 30 a game.
They did a great job. You're absolutely right about that. Yeah, his defense was just phenomenal. I mean, I wrote about him for a reason. He had six blocks against the Warriors, by the way. He got awarded one after the fact. He had 12 rebounds against the Warriors, right? He did what everybody wanted him to do, and then he had 10 against the Blazers. So there you go, everybody. He's doing the glass thing. It's so funny when we do these that, like I feel like Brogdon and Sabonis are a given for, like, their talent at this point. Like, Brogdon has been so – Brogdon had a down scoring night against the Warriors and still had a good game because he had 8 assists and played good defense. But
yeah, he spent a lot of – I mean, I know him and Summer kind of switched on Curry, but he spent a lot of time chasing Curry around, which is not the easiest.
I would like to finally give someone props for a good game who needed a good game more than anyone on this team.
Okay.
Aaron Holiday against the Warriors.
Oh, yeah, finally.
Finally.
About damn time.
I mean, he's been slumping so hard for the whole season. And then in the fourth quarter, they were like, all right, we're just going to give Aaron Holiday the ball every possession because he was so good. He finished with 12 assists. The Pacers had 26 assists. He almost had half their assists in this game. He was flinging these crazy passes in the pick and roll. He was hitting his shots. I mean, he actually only finished 6 of 16, but I think 5 of his makes were in the fourth quarter.
12 assists. That's
not 12 assists. I mean, it was crazy. He put – so they won this game by 9, right? I don't have the exact score.
Yeah.
He was a plus 19. Plus 19, right? So when he was in the game, they just smashed Golden State. I mean, and they were losing at some points in that fourth quarter, and that would have been their third straight loss. I mean, they really needed that game, and he stepped the hell up in that fourth quarter. So despite still, like, a bad game against the Kings, he and a bad first three quarters against the Warriors, he came alive at a huge time, won them a game, and then shot 50% and was plus 22 against the Blazers. So he quietly put together this is pre-Clippers because, guys, I got to be human with you. That game's at 10 p.m. We do not want to record an hour-long podcast at 2 in the morning. But the first three games of this week, Aaron Holiday – or I guess not the first three games, but Aaron Holiday finally had some turnaround this week, and he really needed it.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing with him, and I think we'll probably see this going forward, he will be – probably coming off the bench and not starting. But they needed a point guard against the Warriors off the bench, right? They didn't have McConnell. And McConnell has his flaws at times, but, like, McConnell is that steadying hand who every night, I don't know what the averaging this year in assists was. It's like 6, 7, 8 assists every night, right? His average this year so far is it's actually only 5 assists per game, but it's steadying hand every
time. He plays like 18 minutes, so yeah, it's great still.
Yeah, it's just like a guy who has the ball, who doesn't turn over the ball a ton and just, like, make play, right? They needed that off the bench, and they were missing that really – in both the Suns and the Kings game, they finally got that from him with Aaron Holiday doing that against the Warriors, and then McConnell came back and was pretty solid against the Blazers. Yeah, I mean, I think you mentioned Sumner too. I thought he had a really nice week. I think he's definitely earned himself rotation minutes by the guests by now. He's definitely
Now that Vic's gone and Karras is gone, there are two guard minutes available, sort of.
Yeah,
it's kind of confusing because once Lamb's back, I think Sumner might not play, but he's played so well, it's hard to say. Maybe Lamb will start at the three even, and then they can find a spot for him. But
yeah, they could start him and Lamb, and they could put Holiday. Well, or they could just – I'm assuming
– Or they could start Justin Holiday and have the bench be
– with Lamb. Like, Lamb might come off the bench to start at least for a little bit, I feel like.
Yeah, there's enough between – there's Brogdon as a lock at starting point guard, and then between the starting two, starting three, backup one, two, and three, we have Justin Holiday and – Justin Holiday, Jeremy Lamb, Sumner, Aaron Holiday, and TJ McConnell. And that's five guys, so that'll fit.
Yeah, so – and then I think we should just they've been consistent, obviously, but it's a pretty good case that Brogdon and Sabonis are making a case for what all-star team level, maybe even all-NBA level, at least in Sabonis' case.
All-star team is actually pretty tough in the East this year. We were running through the list.
But if they end up, I mean.
Sabonis will probably get it for sure. He got it last year. He's been really good. Brogdon, I think Brogdon's been better, but I think narrative-wise he's got a tougher case, and he's a guard, which is harder. Especially now that Harden is in the East.
Yeah, but I guess so we can say this. Vig's out of the East, which that was a spot 2 years ago, right?
That's so technically true.
I'm not sure Kyrie is going to get it this year because he's been, you know, in and out of the lineup and whatnot. Right. So the only guys who made it last year that weren't on the team last year and make it this year, I think the for sure lock is Durant, right? Like 100%. Yep. Bradley Beal didn't make it last year, right? Then he gets snubbed.
No, I think he got made All-Star, but not All-NBA, right?
Okay, so for All-Star, he got
– maybe he didn't. I don't remember.
I thought he got snubbed. So then you're looking at, like, Jaylen Brown's the guy who made a case to get on the team, but then Bam is probably off so far this year.
No way.
Right. Oh, you think Bam's off?
No, Bam's – oh, yeah. Bam's been, like, top 5 defensive player in the basketball. I don't like it.
Okay. I mean, I thought he might sort of drop off, but maybe not. Just the teams – their teams have been very good. So, I mean, a lot of this depends on how these teams finish. And they get two All-Stars from a team that maybe is, like, below 500 in the All-Star break.
Yeah. It's also been less than a month, so –
yeah,
I know.
So all I'm going to say is there's a chance. I mean, you're right. The East is just better, so that it's going to be harder to get on there. But, yeah. I mean, they're both making cases to be – and Sabonis making a case to be an all-NBA player, I think.
Yes. Yeah, center, Jokic and Embiid have been awesome. But if Davis isn't classified as a center this year, I mean, Sabonis could easily sneak in at third
team. I assume he won't. Was he a center last year?
I don't remember.
I thought he's been a forward for a while, like the fourth.
He doesn't like to play center, right, per his own admission, so we'll see. But
yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, a lot of guys really, like, when you give up 87 and 95 to good teams, right, like, everybody has to step up. That's like, high-quality defensive numbers, even beyond just getting a win. So, some guys struggled on offense. You know, McDermott actually had a kind of underwhelming week, which road trip's usually his shit, so that was pretty surprising. Justin Holiday is kind of – he's been hitting efficiently enough that this isn't, like, a thing, but, you know, he's proving that being the fifth starter with the starters they have is kind of hard, right? I mean, Aaron really struggled with it. I think putting the ball in Aaron's hands has helped him. But Justin, he shot pretty well against Portland. But, you know, the fifth starter role is kind of hard. So they didn't really score that well. Jakar Sampson doesn't ever score that well. But they were playing such good defense that it didn't matter. They were getting enough transition to win these games. And maybe they'll do well against the Clippers and this will look even better. Maybe they'll play awful and this looks stupid. But because the Suns game was postponed, this tough road trip at worst turns out to be a 500 road trip, and that's solid. Good to me.
Yeah, it's worth noting, too. I know we're only like 12, 13 games in, but who do you think the top five teams in the East are, if you don't know, like seed-wise?
Do you think I can rattle them off, or am I?
Yeah, who are the top five records in the East right now? Can you rattle them off real fast in your head, or no?
Pacers, Bucks, Celtics are three of them. I think Orlando's in there, right?
No, they're the sixth right now.
Ah, dang.
It's actually the five teams you would expect. Literally, I mean, you know, we talk about there were seven teams in the East. There were six good teams,
yeah.
Pacers, right? Well, the five are Celtics, Bucks, Pacers, Sixers, Nets. The only one that really – the Raptors, I think we both kind of agree. Maybe we don't
bounce
yet.
Back.
You think – I think I guess the expectation that they were going to be in that top six tier maybe was a little bit premature.
Maybe,
I think they're probably going to bounce back. I agree with you, but I don't think they're in that, like, top tier. As you mentioned, the Pacers –
the Heat being under 500 is surprising.
Yeah, the Heat have been bad. Not terrible, but they've been bad. I think it's the right
way. Surprises me.
So that's what I mean is, like, actually, in terms of, like, expectations, the top six teams are top five into what you would expect, and the sixth team was probably the eighth seed originally. So, like, it's not like – we've had enough games where, like, the better teams are starting to sort themselves out, if that makes sense.
Yeah, the Pacers have got to maintain their strong start because, like, the Heat, obviously something – I don't know what's going on, but I don't expect them to – I mean, they were in the finals last year. They'll bounce back. The Raptors, Siakam's finally playing well. They've won, I think, three of the last four. They're looking a little better. They'll probably trade for Drummond at some point. And then be great.
That's fair.
They need a center so bad. So I feel like we're mostly seeing it. And the Magic have always been solid, and people just overwrote them for no reason this year. So I think the East is kind of breaking out how people thought, but the Pacers are a little – believe it or not, Adam, a team that won 50 games last year with the same roster is still going to be good. So the Pacers are cementing themselves, which is nice.
Yeah. All I mean is that if you look at, like, the top of the East, it feels like it should be, except for a couple exceptions. Or the Cavs being there is kind of surprising. But, like, you wouldn't have been surprised by the Hornets after they made that trade for Hayward. Hawks.
Why is the Cavs defense so good? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, and the Hawks are the 9 seed, and they were the darling of this year. And the Knicks have been kind of solid for some reason, but that's because I think they've just got better coaching and a guy who, like, next coach young players. But anyways, the Pacers have 3 games this week, so that's what we're going to talk about next, because it actually is starting to look a little better schedule-wise. But first, today's Locked On Patriots podcast is also brought to you by betonline.ag. So by the time you listen to this podcast, we will probably already know the matchups for the NFL championship round. If I had to guess, well, we know a couple of them, but it's probably going to be Bills, Chiefs, Bucks, Packers. I'm assuming the Packers will be favored, and so will the Chiefs. You can check out all those lines, spreads, money lines, and everything at betonline.ag. And right now, if you go there and sign up, you can get a 50% welcome bonus with the promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus. Go to betonline.ag, your online sportsbook. So the Pacers, after getting really only played 2 games in a week at this point, their first game this week is against the Mavericks at home. Tony, do you have the Mavericks numbers up, or do you want me to read them?
I will let you do it.
Okay, so the Mavericks are 16th in offensive rating, 3rd in defensive rating, and a plus 4.3 in net rating, making them 7th in the league right now. By comparison, the Pacers are 3rd in net rating at 6.1, just so we're 10th in offense, 7th in defense. So the Mavs, surprisingly, a really good defense, because usually their MO has been the offense, right? That's usually, usually it's flipped. I mean, for years, like last year, for example, they were 1st in offense and 18th in defense. Now, we are early. The Mavericks play 11 games. They missed a couple games here or there with some COVID stuff. But I think by Wednesday, they'll have a lot of their players, as long as they haven't tested positive, will be after their week, so they should be back. So we should see a decently healthy Mavs team. But we'll see what happens, I guess.
They've had quite a few guys sitting out recently. I think they had to delay one of their games.
Yeah, I think they missed one, if I remember right.
Josh Richardson is missing a bunch of time for health and safety protocols. Dwight Powell, same thing. I think there's a third guy.
Jalen Brunson.
And Brunson, yeah. But on the good side for them, Porzingis just got back. Tim Hardaway Jr. is playing still, even though he's been a little hobbled. So they have most of their best players, and they've been doing a good job. And they have Luka Doncic. So as long as they're relatively healthy, they have a good team. He's averaging 27.5 points, 9.6 rebounds, and 8.8 assists per game. I think that kind of speaks for itself. And the craziest thing about that is he's shot awful from 3 this year, just atrociously bad. And as we know with the Pacers, that means he's going to shoot 8 for 10 from 3.
I'm sure it does.
Yeah, we saw Kelly Oubre pop off out of a slump this week. We saw Rashawn Holmes hit 3s. We saw Harrison Barnes pop out of a slump. I mean, it's the Pacer way this year. But, yeah, Doncic has not been hitting 3. So once he starts hitting some outside shots, I mean, and now he's got Porzingis to pass to, I think his stats are even going to pop even more so. The Pacers did beat the Mavs last year. Yep, they played them pretty well. I know they can beat this Mavs team, but they're a good team.
Yeah, I mean, this is another test. I mean, I would say this week, right? I would say the Warriors are maybe not like as good as they could be, but they're good. Still pretty solid. Blazers are very good. Suns are really good. I mean, they played played Clippers tonight. I mean, they just play a lot of good teams. And so, I mean, just any wins against this kind of team is good. I think with the days off and whatnot, it should be a little better. We should mention that Turner is missing Sunday night's game, or did miss it, was in his practice on Monday against the Clippers with a hand injury. Hopefully he's back by this game. Lamb is kind of we'll kind of see each game. We don't really know. I think they're targeting this kind of week or next week to bring him back. It's kind of hit that late January timeline, so we'll see. But I think it's better to assume he's not playing. But if the Pacers get Turner back and they are sort of healthy from the 1-9 we've seen this year, I like their chances just because I think they've been able to play teams like this really well, essentially.
Absolutely, yeah. They've got the chances to do so, and they kind of need to, because the Mavs have versatility everywhere. If they're fully healthy, like Doncic, Hardaway, Richardson, Porzingis, and whatever center they go with, probably Dwight Powell, that's a versatile-ass group. They can do anything. They can pick and pop, pick and roll, run complicated sets, defend it in your face. They don't really have – I mean, Doncic is playing okay defense this year, so this is a big test for the Bjorkgren Fest. Who's your butcher in this one?
Well, I'll let you – well, Yeah, I'll let you take the obvious.
There is a discussion, I think. I mean, obviously there's one amazing player, but.
But, well, Porzingis, we'll see what he's going to play, right? So he's, I think he's, I assume he's been on some kind of minutes restriction, at least a little bit. He's coming back from, what, he tear an ACL or minor ACL intertail?
I forget what. No, it wasn't that bad, but it was some knee thing, yes.
Some knee thing, okay. He's said a couple of
knees. I think.
Yeah, we're really good with the medical stuff.
Yeah, we're killing it.
Yeah. Anyways. He has always been a really big Pacer killer. I mean, you can go back. There's like he's had a bunch of 30-point-plus games against the Pacers. If he's
ankle going to, for Porzingis.
Okay. If he's going to play, let's say, 28 to 30 minutes, he has a chance to put up, let's say, 25.
Let's talk about Porzingis last year against the Pacers.
Yeah, okay? Give me numbers.
Because this is why I was going to say him as an option. In Dallas, the game the Pacers won, Porzingis was 3-for-17 with 9 points and 8 rebounds, right?
What was the other game? I remember the
rough game. Like in Indiana, in a game Doncic didn't play, the Mavs won by 9 because Porzingis was 10-for-20 with 38 points and 12 rebounds.
That's what I remember. Now, I remember there's a Knicks game going back where he like had like 45 and dragged them back down 10 to win a game against the Pacers. I mean, he's a very good basketball player when he's healthy.
Exactly. So the smooth and fully dominant and engaged, healthy Porzingis can just smash your team, right? So I would say that Porzingis, I'm going to pick him as the butcher too because he's pretty mobile for a big. So either Turner or Sabonis will have a tough time with him, and whichever one of them is guarding him will not be in their ideal position defensively. And I want to give you the chance to talk about Luka. So I'm picking Porzingis.
So my X factor in this game is probably going to be one of Brogdon or Sumner, and that's because they have to guard Luka.
Yeah.
maybe they'll throw Sumner to start, but you'll see Brogdon eventually guard him. That's usually how it goes, frankly. And so Luka is having an MVP-like season, right? I mean, I think I picked him as my preseason MVP. I don't think you did. I think you picked Giannis. But he's having that kind of season. I mean, it's going to come out how many games the Mavs can win and whatnot for a lot of these guys that ends up separating them from being MVP contenders or not. Because, like, you have Bradley Beal putting up 35 a game, but his team's won, like, 3 games. So it doesn't really matter. But, yeah, so, I mean, I think the key for the Pacers is not going to – it's the same way they beat the Warriors, same way they beat the Trailblazers. You don't have to stop Luka because you're not going to. But you can hold him in check to an inefficient game like that. That could be huge, right? So if he, you know, has 25 points but is 7 of 20, let's say, something like that. That's how you beat this team. You just kind of hold him in check a little bit, and they've done a good job, right? Like I said, I guess he might be one of those, might be better than those three guards I talked about earlier on the Trailblazers and Warriors. But yeah, they can hold him in check. They have a shot at this game, I think, because I don't think Porzingis is 100% healthy, so I'm not sold on him having a huge game.
Yeah. I mean, he could not go off. He's only playing 25 minutes a game so far. But, yeah, and Trey Burke has go-off potential. Tim Hardaway has go-off potential. I mean, the Mavs have some threats on offense. My X factor, I mean, you got to go with Sabonis to me because the guys I just said, Dwight Powell, Maxi Kleba, Porzingis, they're all good. Going to play. Maxi Kleba's probably their best defensive guy of that group, though. I think Sabonis can have a good game against those guys because they have good guard defenders. Finney Smith's an okay wing defender. I mean, whoever's guarding Doncic is going to have their hands full to the point where they can't even expend that much effort offensively. And their bench is really solid. So it's hard to find an easy advantage for the Pacers outside of Sabonis, who has been their advantage in most games anyway. So I'll pick Sabonis.
Yeah, can I just shout out Sabonis' passing this year, by the way? I mean, he is making like the guy is reading double teams so well. I mean,
the important part, quickly.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Like, it's either he worked on it, well, clearly he worked on it, but like the coaching too has really gotten him, it feels like. And it's like, you get double team, kick it out to one of our 3-point shooters, and you might get it back even, right? But just like keep the ball moving, don't get stationary and stuck. And that was, I think, one of his kind of biggest issues maybe last year was that he just tried to fight through the double teams and, you know, get a bad shot. And this year it's like, nope. The guy comes over, he immediately finds the guy in the corner for the skip pass, and they start moving it around really fast. So to me, has been the one that's like elevated his game a ton this season.
Yeah, for sure. It's going to be a good one. Before the season started, we both predict you predicted a win and I predicted a loss against Dallas. Are you sticking with the win?
Yeah, I'm going to stick with the win. They have enough time off. Like this, they're now, like I said, they've played basically like 3 games in a week, which is a really, considering this season, is really nice. I mean, that's a lot of time off. I know it's traveling back home and whatnot, but they've had 2 days off in Los Angeles, which is probably pretty nice this time of year, I would assume. And then they fly back home and have 2 more days at home for this game. So I think it should be a win for the Pacers.
So what I will say is we were recording before the Clippers game where their injury report is absurd. So that is why I think that this week could be weird if they have some funky injury nonsense going on. So who knows who plays and who doesn't. If Lamb's back, maybe that helps. If Turner's back, maybe that helps. Actually, both of those guys would for sure help. I mean, there's no maybe. But
yeah,
That makes it hard for me to officially predict anything right now, but I think that I still think they'll lose. Luka Doncic is just that good. Porzingis is back. The timing does not work out for this to be an easy game. And so, yeah, I'll pick the Dallas Mavericks here.
Ah, man, you're always the pessimist. All right.
I wanted to stick with my early season prediction.
All right. So the next game, the Pacers will take on the Magic Friday night. Another 6 o'clock or 7 Eastern start. Sorry. At least they're not.
Finally.
Not at 10. That's the best thing about this week right going on right now. Like we said, the Magic have been actually surprisingly good this year. Not surprising, but
let's take off there for a second. You want to hear some wild stuff about the Magic?
Yeah.
Magic are all right. You're right. They are solid. They're 6-7. They are 26th in offensive rating and 21st in defensive rating. So I have no idea how the hell they're 6-7.
I was literally going to say that. I was like, they have a solid record, but they're 28th in net rating, which means
their expected win loss is 4-9 given their net rating, right? So that means they've played very well in close games. But yeah, they started off the season 4-0, looked really nice, and now they've lost 5 in a row, and it looks like 7 of their last 9 games. So who knows what the
– Well, they've been getting smoked. Like, I mean, they've been putting up less than 100 and giving up 120-plus for the better part of, like, 2 weeks now.
Yeah, they are looking rough around the edges here, the Orlando Magic.
And it's worth mentioning, this is the fifth game of a road trip for them. So they started on last Friday playing in Boston, and this will be the last game of the road trip. So
those are the hardest games to see the last one.
Yeah. Nice time to catch this team, let's put it that way.
So something really screwing the Magic this season, injuries just killing them. Yeah. Okeke, they just got back. He's been out for a while. Jonathan Isaac's out. Fultz is out. I think him missing time has hurt them more than people know. Evan Fournier missed some time. Michael Carter-Williams has missed some time. Mo Bamba, I think, has missed the whole season. Al-Farouq Aminu has missed a lot of the season. Like, that's a lot of good players who are missing time for them. So Vucevic has been like all-star level. I mean, maybe not, because the East, like we just said, is pretty loaded. At the beginning of the season when they were 4-0, he was looking amazing. And Aaron Gordon's been good, and Terrence Ross, which, yikes, Terrence Ross against the Pacers. Terrence Ross has been good, but other than that, I mean, they don't get any consistent production because of injuries and everything, so it's kind of hard to tell what Magic you're going to get.
So if you had to pick a bunch of teams, I chose last time. Would you go with the obvious one, or do you have somebody else? Terrence Ross is the Pacer killer, so there's always that.
I was going to say, I mean, how do you not pick Terrence Ross?
But, I mean, there's an obvious one. Do you want to pick him, or do you want to pick somebody else?
I wrote an entire article about Terrence Ross just because of how crazy stats he puts up against the Pacers. I mean, Vooch is an obvious choice because he's their, like, it's like Vooch and then two-tier. I mean, some people like Aaron Gordon still. I don't get it, but.
Well, can we just say free Aaron Gordon, please?
What? To do what? To be the same player on a different team? Like, I don't think he's that good.
Okay, all right. I didn't realize I was
how dare you? I don't get it. He is the strangest player to me. He's just, like, so, like, eh. And everyone's like, oh, my gosh. Like, he's going to be so good. It doesn't make sense.
Extremely athletic, and has played for a very, very average team.
He is easily the most popular Pacers trade target, like, every year for some reason. And I don't
get it. Oh, I don't know about that anymore. I think we're good with the two centers. I'm just saying,
if
you put him on a team, it's a little better. No, that's all I'm saying. Let him be the third option on, like, I don't know. Give me some team out west.
I will concede he's playing. He, in the past, has played out of position, but with Isaac out, he's playing the correct position. And guess what? He's still not doing that well.
I know. Okay. All right. Fine.
Maybe
whatever.
He's just not that good. No, Vooch and Ross are the two. I mean, Vooch is really good at anything 15 feet and in. Vooch, you could argue, is in the top three in the NBA offensively at doing it, like finishing and passing and post moves and just general offensive creation from the post. I mean, obviously, Sabonis is better than him at many of those things, but he's very good at them, and he's a very unheralded player. I'm glad he got an all-star appearance under his belt in his career. But Terrence Ross scores like 1,000 points every time he plays the Pacers, even though he is very inconsistent and streaky. He could always go off. So, I mean, those two guys are the only two you can pick. I'll pick Ross for the same reason I picked Porzingis, because we've seen it happen many times. So maybe it's a personnel thing.
All right, well, I'll pick Vooch just because he'll put up a good stat line, although he has some pretty bad on-off stats, if you look at be honest.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, if you go there, he's actually a minus, basically.
Wow, that is surprising. Like Basketball Reference, agree?
Yeah, go to the bottom of his Basketball Reference page or the team
page.
That's
very interesting.
I think part of it to do is the team is just getting smoked for like five straight games in a row, and that doesn't really help no matter what. This team, like, it's weird, right? On paper, we read the numbers. They just look like they're not a good team. Like, if you told me they're 26th and 21st, I would say, oh, they probably are, like, you know, let's say 4-9 right now or 3-10, like they should be. So, yeah, I mean, I think Vooch could have a good night. I mean, there's just not a lot on this team that scares me, I guess.
His on-off is terrible.
Yeah, I was telling
you. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That doesn't make – I'm sorry. I'm sorry I went back to that when you were –
No, waiting. You're fine. You're
just – doesn't make any sense.
I mean, I just the team is getting smoked. I mean, that's probably why.
Their bench must be pretty good because Aaron Gordon – or never mind, wait. I don't know. I don't get it. I don't get it. That's weird. Yeah.
But so as I said, Vucevic had a nice night, but nothing about this team scares me that much. I mean, I think, frankly, and my X factor, just kind of going that side real fast, is probably going to be well, I guess I already picked Brogdon, right?
I was going to pick Brogdon.
So you pick Brogdon. So here's what I'll do. I will pick whoever's playing the three spot, right? So we're probably Justin Holiday there. Maybe yeah, it's Jeremy Lamb. But whoever at that three spot should have a pretty nice night, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. Their wings aren't – they're kind of like the Pacers. They have lots of guards and lots of, like, 4-5-e's, but not many wings in general. They kind of forced Aaron Gordon there. Gary Clark's okay. I actually think Gary Clark's a pretty underrated NBA player, but – you know, they have a lot of the wings that we would call, like, the fake wings. You know, Okeke is okay, but he's hurt. James Ennis, I've called him a fake wing, like, many times. Fournier's more guard. I mean, they just don't have wings. Yeah, Brogdon's my pick because, I mean, Fultz is out, obviously, but, like, Cole Anthony, Michael Carter-Williams. I mean, as cool as Carter-Williams would have been for, like, the Pacers' fourth point guard this year, I mean, they have nothing at that position, right? So, Brogdon, I think Brogdon can bully a rookie, Cole Anthony, and have a nice game.
Yeah, this could be like a 35-point Brogdon game.
Yeah, you know what's interesting? Didn't the Pacers go 4-0 against the Magic last year, even though they were pretty good last year? Yeah. I want to make sure I have that right.
They played four times, though? Are you sure they played them four times?
I don't know that for sure, but I think they did. I'm going to pick a Pacers win because I think they did well against them. Yeah, they did. They went 3-0 against the Magic last year. They just have the personnel to play this team well, even with Ross going off, right? They match up well because the Magic don't quite have the wings, and the Magic's best position or positions, I guess, if you want to count Gordon, they just have somebody to handle it. So I'm picking a Pacers win.
Is this a game where the Pacers fans can return?
No, that would be Toronto, the 24th, I think.
Okay, I couldn't remember.
I might be wrong about that.
No, I forgot. I knew that the tickets go on sale this week, so I didn't – well, it looks like you can buy tickets for the game. Starting on
I thought that game was only season tickets. Well, they go on sale the 19th. That's different than when you can actually attend.
Well, it says look like I'm on ESPN and it says you can buy tickets starting on the Mavs game on the 20th. So it must be some fans. So that's also another note this week there'll be some fans, which is exciting. Hopefully everybody can stay safe and whatnot.
Yes. Only go if it's a smart choice for you.
Yes, exactly. They have a very good broadcast on TV that I enjoy watching and you enjoy watching when you have to go to some of the games, but yeah. We both enjoy the broadcast a little bit. Okay, you have a win or loss against the Magic.
I'm picking a win. Yeah.
Same. I think this is the way the Magic are
playing. Okay, sorry. I'm on the Pacers website now and it says tickets for games from January 24th through March 4th will go on sale Tuesday, January 19th. So I believe that the Friday game against the Raptors is the first game.
Okay.
I think before that game, it's just people who had season ticket priority, and then the general public, it's
– gotcha. So you could buy a ticket if you're from someone who has season ticket.
Yeah, so there are – I think there'll be a few people potentially at the first two games we've talked about. And anyone potentially at this Raptors game.
Okay, so the Pacers take on the Raptors at 3:30 next Sunday. That's the last game of this week. Then they'll play the Raptors on a back-to-back, actually.
Can I make up a storyline for this game that's not actually real?
Sure, go ahead.
There is a real one, Bjorkgren versus his old team. I'm super excited for that. But that's not what I'm going to talk about.
Okay.
The Raptors were supposed to be good this year and better than the Pacers. Many predicted in that way. And if the Pacers want to avoid the play-in tournament, which, I mean, they're playing good enough to do that anyway, but keeping one of the teams that was supposed to finish above them down is a great way to do that. Like, if the Pacers can smoke the Heat and Raptors every time they play them, from a tiebreaker perspective and just a record perspective, that'll go a long way in helping them avoid a potential play-in tournament game. So, beating the Raptors is important.
Yeah, and for the Raptors, the back-to-back. So it's one of those home back-to-backs that we saw earlier this year. They play them Sunday at home and then Monday at home. And so Raptors end up playing like three games in four nights. So it's a good opportunity to at least split with them. And I think that's probably the more likely scenario just because when you have a well-coached team, usually they can come back the next game. We saw that with Celtics, right? They kind of figure out a little bit of how to beat the Pacers the second time they played. Basically was playing Tatum a bunch of minutes, but that's how that worked. But for this game, I think that, like you said, the thing to watch is Bjorkgren's revenge game, you want to call it. I mean, they didn't get rid of him. They want, you know, they happily wanted him to go somewhere great,
right.
Frankly. But it's interesting because he very much has taken a lot of the principles from the Raptors offense and really defense and Barnes in Indiana. So, like, we'll see two similarly coached teams, it feels like. You know, there was always that joke that Bjorkgren and Nurse were, like, one and the same at the time. Sometimes, like, they both just had, like, the same view on a lot of things and coached very, like, in unison. So, it'll be kind of that Spider-Man meme, right? pointing at each other saying, oh, yeah, wait, you're Spider-Man, I'm Spider-Man kind of thing.
You won't be able to stop me from the jokes if the Pacers win, where I can go, wow, who was really the brainchild of that Raptors championship team?
Yeah, well, I mean, we're Pacers have run some boxing one, which was the big part of that.
They have.
They play in two centered, which is a big part of Raptors two and making that work. So I don't know. I mean, it's not out of the question.
The Raptors are the same team they've been since they traded DeRozan, basically. Mediocre half-court offense, but fantastic transition team. Their defense has not been as good, though, which has really been a reason their offense has suffered. You know, as those things go in tandem, they're 4-8 with the 15th offense and the 20th defense. Reminder, both of those ratings are better than what we just said for the Magic in terms of ranking, and they are two wins worse than the Magic. The Raptors are 4-8. They've been playing better of late. They've won 3 of their last 5. They finally got Siakam to run into play. They're getting a little healthier. So despite some struggles from some key guys, this team's still okay. Like, I don't want to look at their 4-8 record and go, oh, the Raptors will be easy. You know, they have an all-NBA level guy in Siakam who, again, has really struggled early in the year, but, again, has rounded into form the last week. Lowry's always going to be good. Van Vliet, they kept, who's been shooting lights out this year. He's been good. So, they, you know, their ancillary guys haven't stepped up as much. They really lost a lot at center without Gasol, but they're still good.
Yeah, I think I'm going to pick a butcher. I would pick Van Vliet.
Yeah, he's been awesome this year.
I assume he'll get guard. I'm assuming Brogdon will be put on Lowry, so he'll get the Sumner or whoever's playing that two guard at that point matchup.
By that point, Lamb will probably be back, I would guess.
Okay.
I'm guessing.
From your mouth to God's ears. I would. But yeah, I mean, Van Vliet, both Lowry and him are both playing great this year. They basically have like identical stats, except Van Vliet's taking more shots, essentially. But they're both taking like a ton of three, shooting really well from three, like 30, both shooting 37.5% roughly and 42 from the field. But I think Van Vliet is kind of, to me, is just he'll have the better offensive matchup on the defensive end. And then I think I like him just a little bit more than Lowry at this point just because of age, essentially.
Yeah, that's fair. And they're both good. Lowry may be in a little decline, but I would say no. I mean, he's still the engine still of the good. Raptors. Yeah, he's one of I mean, he'll be the most underrated player in the NBA until he dies. Like, it's just how it is. There's still, let's go to the on-offs again, like we just did with Vucevic. Raptors positive with Lowry on the court and 5 points better with him on the court than without him, whereas they're negatives with basically everyone else in there, and the on-offs are weird. Boucher has been something interesting for the Raptors. Who knows about Chris Boucher, who's listening? Probably not a lot of people.
I do.
He used to be on the Warriors on a two-way, and he's a good Raptors backup center, and he's been their best center. He's averaging 15.7 points per game. He's been better than Baines. He's been better than Alex Len, but they still don't start him for some reason. If they finally figure that out, and starting Chris Boucher, maybe the Raptors will turn around. But, yeah, who knows? I mean, there's a lot of things that can go wrong against a good team like the Raptors. You know, they've got some depth. So anything can happen to make them beat you. You got to keep up. Their defense can be sharp.
Can I give my X-Factor? Can I go first this time?
Yes, you can.
The bench. I'm using my bench card for the week.
I don't know if I will this week.
I think – well, I mean, you can cut me or not. I think that's the way they win this game, frankly. I think – from 1 to 5. Now, I think their pitchers are slightly better, I guess you could say, but I think overall, just because I think the Lowry Van Vliet combo is really probably the best combination of any two players in the court, although Barnes Bonus could be up there. You can make a case. But I think they have to win this game by having just a better bench play, mainly from McConnell, McDermott, and Aaron Holiday. That's going to be their shot to win this game, right? To maybe stay even with the starters and then extend the lead to the bench and hope they can now be enough to win the game.
Yeah, that's a good choice. I mean, without Ibaka, without Gasol, their bench, Norm Powell playing worse, a lot worse. Norm Powell is shooting awful this year. So he could have, again, it's the Pacers, he's going to go off. But their bench has just been worse. They're relying on Alex Len, Norm Powell, Stanley Johnson. I mean, do you guys know who a lot of these people are? Terrence Davis, Yuta Watanabe's actually been huge for them. Does anyone know who that is? Rookie Malachi Flynn, like their bench is not super awesome. So that's a good choice. I don't know who I'm going to pick this game. Turner's a good choice, I think. Their half-court offense is a little weak. If he can keep that the case, Pacers can keep them out of transition, that could be huge. Whoever's guarding Van Vliet, like you said, Sumner could be an important one here. But I think I'll go with Turner for that reason. You know, the Raptors' half-court offense, again, is not very good. They rely a lot on transition to score. If Turner can make sure that's the case and the Pacers can not turn the ball over a lot, keep them out of transition, they can win this game. And they play the next night, so we're kind of previewing two games at once.
Yeah, so do you have a win or a loss in this game? I think they split the back-to-back. I just don't know which one they win.
Hey, I picked a split before the season, and I picked they win the first one, so I'll stick with that.
How did I have it?
You had win-win, actually, before the season.
Really? Well, yeah. That was really, really gutsy.
Ambitious.
Ambitious is the right one I'm looking for, yeah.
I love it.
You know, I'll pick a loss in this one and then a win on Monday, but I think it can go either way.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. I think they split ultimately. I don't know which one's which. I mean, the Bjorkgren Nurse Bowl is going to be so interesting. And they both get to do adjustments between games, which I'm looking forward to. So, yeah, it'll be fun. I got nothing else for this week. Actually, I would like to close and say,
yeah,
got to wish Caris LeVert the best of luck and well wishes with his health. I mean,
yes.
It's a scary thing. It's a very interesting, like, story with how the trade shook out and finding a mass on someone's kidney in the trade process, right? And, you know, it's going to be rehashed and talked about in so many ways. But before we can even discuss, like, any part of it, any decisions made by anyone, I think the big thing is the human element and hoping Caris LeVert turns out okay.
Yeah, and I think it's just kind of, like, sucks because I think we were both excited for him, right? Like, we were ready to, like, we were both ready, like, when's he going to play at the team? Like, we want to watch him play, like, tomorrow. Because, like, we've both been kind of up and down on Vic, and we thought, oh, now getting this young guy, shooting guard, like, really good, like, potential to score, like, 40 points occasionally, stuff like that. I could really use that right now, worn out. Like, I was excited. So it's just sad. I mean, it's hopefully he'll be okay, and that's all we can hope for. But as a fan, it was like, I was really excited to watch him play. So it just sucks, frankly.
Yep. I agree with all that.
I think that's all we got. We will be doing 5 shows this week. I think we'll be doing a mailbag at some point, so maybe even for Tuesday's show. So if you can follow us on Twitter at Locked On Pacers and look for that tweet from there. Or Tony might tweet on his personal account at TeasedNBA. You can follow me at FreedomAdam5. They have 3 games this week, so we'll break down each of those games, do some more previews and whatnot. So that's all we have for his Locked On Pacers podcast. We'll see you guys again.